Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born into Bethlehem of Judea, in those days for Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, "Where is Christ? Where the Christ was to be born?" So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings in life. And God, we thank you for this time of the year, a season where we remember your birth. But Lord, every day we should remember that. Every day we should call upon you. Every day we should bow down and worship you. God, I thank you for the opportunities that we have here. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Wise men. Are you very wise today? You know, wise men still seek Jesus, don't they? And I hope this morning that you're like these wise men. You've heard about Jesus Christ. And you've come here today to seek him out in your life. You may be here this morning and you've got a problem in your life. Jesus is the answer to that problem. If you'll seek him and find him this morning, he will bless your life. And with Jesus Christ, you can overcome all the problems. He will help you make it through this life into the heavenly life in his kingdom and forever live with him. What a great good news the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's the good news, the Bible says, unto salvation. And friends, wise men still seek Jesus. And if you want to be wise this morning, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Our text today is about wise men. Students of science, astronomy, they were seekers. They were seekers, the Bible says, of truth. And they've come upon some great knowledge. A king is born. A child is born. And they come seeking that child to find him. Well, I want you to think about this morning. What are some characteristics of the wisdom that these men had today? Truly wise men. I believe if you look at their life, one thing you'll find out about their life, they had an attitude of expectancy. They were motivated. Boy, we need to be motivated today, don't we? We need to be motivated, one, to seek out the child. That's what they were motivated for. They had a knowledge that a Jesus Christ or a king would be born. And his name was Jesus. So they come from the east and they come to Herod. And they said, listen, we have seen his star in the east. And we want to know, where is the child, king of the Jews? They had come to worship. They had come to bow down. They had come to this knowledge of a Savior. And folks, today you may be here and you have a knowledge of the Savior. Do you worship him as the Savior? Do you give your total life to him this morning? A commitment in your life. So they came on a mission of expecting to find. Let me tell you why I know they were expecting to find him. They brought gifts with them. They were ready to find his king, and they were ready to offer him the gifts. Now, they had an attitude of expectancy in their life, wanting to know all about Jesus Christ. And I believe wise men today are people expecting anticipation of something to happen great in their life. If you go through life and you do not expect anything, let me tell you, you'll get exactly that. Nothing. You've got to expect things to happen in your life. I don't know about you, but every Sunday morning, I say, Lord, I want to thank you for what's going to happen in our church today. I expect great things to happen. I come to this pulpit every Sunday morning expecting somebody to get saved. Do they always have it? No, they don't always get saved. But I expect it. I believe God. I trust God every morning for something great to happen in the ministry of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. And I just this is the end of the year, and I look back over the year and say, Lord, thank you for blessing our church this year, for making it one of the greatest, I believe, churches in our town, in our county, in our association, and even in the state of Texas. I believe God's going to do something great. He already has. I count back over the years, and I look at all the people that have been saved through the ministry of this church, and there's thousands, folks. There's just thousands of people that have come into contact, that have sought out Jesus Christ like these wise men, and through the ministry of this church, they've come into contact with Jesus Christ. All the mission trips and the people saved, all the money that's been given to Lottie Moon and Mary Hill Davis and Annie Armstrong, all those mission endeavors with people went from this church to be saved. And I thank you, God. I say thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the life. I can remember when we started this church, the anticipation of our people and expectation of our people for this church to be a lighthouse to our town. I don't know about you, but when I was a little child, I was expecting and anticipating. I never will forget, you know. I always anticipated Christmas coming. I don't know about you, but I liked this time of the year. I always said, Santa Claus, I want this and that. And boy, I was anticipating and I couldn't, you know, seemed like it took forever for Christmas Day to get here. Boy, now it just rolls around just so fast. It's like that, isn't it? You're filled with excitement and anticipation. I can remember, you know, when I grew up, boy, I wanted Saturday to get here, man. Saturday morning, I anticipated we don't have to go to school that day, and man, I could take out my gun and go over in the woods and just sit there and enjoy God's nature and things there. I just anticipated and expected that to be a great day. Then I thought about what I would do for a living. All little boys, they want to be firemen or policemen or doctor or great athlete or preacher. I never expected that, but God did. See, the Bible says, in order for the foundation of the world, God knew what I was going to be, and He knows what you're going to be. What are you expecting of God today? I believe wise men seek Jesus, and wise men expect God to bless them. And wise men are always looking for those things of God in their life. You see, expectancy makes all the difference in the world. It can either put you in the kingdom, or the lack of it can keep you out of the kingdom. You see, Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. And we must look to the Lord with that expectation that, God, I know that You can do something in my life. I know that You can do something in our church's life. Expectation says Christ can make a difference. He will make a difference in your life this morning. This can be the greatest year ever in your life. I was thinking a while ago, man, this year started off with a gallbladder attack. This year saw kidney stones. This year saw all kinds of things in my life. But I said, I thank God through everyone, because it keeps you closer to God. You're always looking to God. I can't look to anyone else. I have to look to God for those things, and He gives us our hope. You know, He gives us our joy of Christmas. And I know He can make a difference in your life this morning if you'll just let Him. Expectancy gives us that hope. As long as there is hope, there's life. I believe these wise men sought Jesus. They expected to find Him. They knew that this boy that they sought by this star would make a difference in the world. And He did. So the characteristics of these wise men, one, is expectancy. And I believe if we're wise this morning, we ought to be expecting something great. For God to do something great in our life. Now think about it. What are you expecting? Let me ask you another way. What are you believing God for right now? If you're not believing God for something right now, you're missing out on the blessings that God wants to give you. So what are you believing Him for? Think about it. And if you're not believing God for something, what's wrong? Why aren't you believing God for something? And then the second thing I think a characteristic of these wise men is that their willingness to take that step of faith. You see, they left where they were and they went after a king and saying, you know, they said, listen, if we don't venture out, we're certainly not going to find this young man. They had seen his star in the east and they wanted to find Jesus, but yet it takes somebody with faith to step out and travel and go somewhere and find this Jesus they're looking for. Jesus says, in the day that you seek Me, you will find Me. And friends, today, if you're not seeking Jesus, you're not going to find Him. If you're not praying about it, you're not going to find Him. Wise men were willing to step out by faith and attain what they sought after. You see, there's always some action in it. We've got to move on our faith. Faith in action is the wise men, when they saw the star, hitching up their camels and heading out. That's faith. Faith in action. I remember a time when old Peter stepped out on that boat. What is that? That's faith in action. All odds was he wasn't going to walk on that water. But he believed God could do anything, and by faith he got out of the boat. And I've said many times, we're like to criticize him for sinking into the water. But at least he got out of the boat, didn't he? We wouldn't have ever got out of the boat. Oh, but nobody's ever done that before. Peter has. You see, that's faith. Faith is Moses stretching out his hands towards the Red Sea and God parting that water for him. Faith is Abraham raising his knife over his son to plunge it through him. You see, that's faith, believing God would provide the lamb. Faith is Joshua. Oh, Joshua, it's silly to march around Jericho 7 times. That's a long way to walk. I've seen the city. It's a big city. All you'd have to do is maybe just 1 time. But God said, Joshua, 7 times march around. Not 6, but 7. You see, that's faith. Faith is little David standing before Goliath with a slingshot, saying, I'm not scared of this giant. My God is able. He helped me kill a bear. He helped me kill a lion. This man is nothing for me. Faith is old Daniel, knowing that when everybody else was ordered not to pray, he knelt and prayed, and then he walked into that lion's den, believing God that he could close those lions' mouth. See, these men were men of faith. And I better not leave off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faith is those 3 young men believing. Nebuchadnezzar, if the fire burns us up, nevertheless, we're going to trust our God anyway. That is faith, folks. What are you believing God for this morning by faith in Jesus Christ? What are you willing to say? Lord, we believe you for this and that, for this next year. You see, faith in action causes us to grow. Faith moves out where others say it can't be done. Faith is being willing to take the risk, you know, to stretch our faith and grow it stronger. That's faith. We need the right kind of faith if we're going to find Jesus Christ this morning. We need that faith to venture out and trust Jesus Christ. You're here this morning and you've got problems in your life. You've got burdens in your life. You want to be released from those problems. You want to be released from those burdens. You want to be released from the sin and the guilt that holds you down this morning. It takes faith in Jesus Christ to step out. Believing God can do that. Let me tell you something. He will. He is faithful to do what he says he will do in the Word of God. These wise men, they stepped out by faith. They hitched up their camels and they followed after the star. And they came from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is the person, or where is he who has been born king of the Jews? That's expectation. That's expectancy. And then they have something else. They have an openness to a discovery. An openness to a discovery. You see, they were open to discovering what God wanted them to have in their life. They were going to discover something great that day. They were going to discover a young babe who was born king of the Jews. These wise men, expecting to find the babe, stepped out in faith, and they were open to a discovery. The Bible says, and they came into the house, and they saw the child. They came into the house, and they saw the child. Now, what happened? They literally pushed past all the horizons or obstacles in their way, and they witnessed the greatest blessing of all history, the child called Jesus Christ. They discovered in their life the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because they were willing to leave one place and search for Jesus Christ in another. These wise men were really wise indeed. They were able to discern the reality from the fake. You see, They had heard of the Caesar of Rome. They had heard about Rome, even though they probably never went there. But they heard about Herod's palace and all the false claims that of the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. But these wise men were wise enough to know that in cities and in religion, that won't get you to heaven. They realized they were looking for God's Son, and it was Jesus, a babe born in a stable. And when they saw the baby, or when they saw the child born in the stable, that wisdom that they had looked past the worldly to the real. Wise men still seek Jesus. And folks, this is the verdict of history. If you study history, Caesar is no longer there. Rome has fallen. Herod is gone. The mighty palaces have crumbled. Their glory faded. But the babe in the manger has changed our lives and is changing lives by the millions every day. You saw on the screen in Thailand how people are searching for God. They're searching for hope. They're looking for something. Let me tell you something. They've tried the Buddha. If you go there, you'll see a giant Buddha up on the hill. He brings no hope. I talked to Jack. Jack was a young man that was burning candles, incense to Buddha. I asked him, I said, Jack, what has Buddha ever done for you? He had a stare on his face I'll never forget. Has he ever done anything for you? Has he ever answered your prayer? Well, no, I don't guess he has. He never will, because he's dead. He is dead. But the one that I tell you about is alive. His name is Jesus. And he has changed the lives of millions, Jack. And he will change yours if you'll just ask him to come into your life. You see, wise men, Jack, they still seek Jesus. Just as they found the babe, so can you this morning. All you have to do is come by faith, trusting him. And if you're willing to step out on faith, if you're willing to venture forth to something new, you've tried going to church. It doesn't work, does it? Man, I used to go to church. I used to go to church because I had to. Mama, Daddy made me go. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. My wife made me come to church. Preacher, I really didn't want to come this morning, but my wife made me. He was honest. All, you know, I've been drugged to church all my life. You know what? I'm so glad I come. I'm not forced to come. I'm so glad I have a reason for coming. I'm so glad I found Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I ventured forth that day of my salvation. I never will forget it. I had gone to church all my life. But that didn't make me a Christian, see? It's only when I saw Christ, only when I realized I am a sinner, I am without hope in my life, I don't have the joy. Nobody makes me go to church now. I just want to go. Nobody makes me tell others about Jesus Christ. I just want to tell them, because the joy that he gives me. Nobody helps me through the situations that I'm in except Jesus Christ. Folks, I love the Lord with all my heart. I mess up. I fall short. I thank God that he put it in his word. If we are faithful to confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive them. If we will confess, God is faithful. Oh, I've had to go back to that scripture many times because I'm still human. I'm going to fall short, but I know that my sins are forgiven because of the Word of God. And I expect God to keep every promise because that's what the Bible says. He cannot lie. He is truthful to His Word. And oh, what a discovery I made that day in 1975 when I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. You see, He gave me a heart for Him. A heart to worship. You see, wise men not only expect God to bless or find God or have faith for God or a discovery, they have a heart for worship in God. When they found the child, the Bible says, this is what it says, and when they saw the child with his Mary mother, verse 11, they fell down and what? Worshiped Him. Folks, let me tell you something. When you find Jesus, when He comes into your heart, you're going to get out and worship Him. No more will you have to go to church. Whew, I'm glad I was released from that. Man, I go now to worship God. I just love to hear those two ladies play that music. Man, that just sets you mood to the preaching. You know, they lift you up, and then I come up here and bring you down again. Put you to sleep. I ought to make more money than I do. Anesthesiologist. Boom. I put people to sleep every day. They don't feel any pain. Now, listen, folks. We ought to have a heart to worship God. You ought to want to come in here and worship God. You ought not complain about going over 12 o'clock. Man, you can sit under a tree and worship God all day long and enjoy it. If your heart's right, let me tell you something. Some of you go home tonight and you won't even think about coming back. You ought to want to come back. This church ought to be full of people. These kids are going to put on a program tonight. They're going to get up here and they're going to sing their heart out for Christ, and for no other reason. You ought to just come up here and support them so that you can sing your heart with them. You see, every single one of you shouldn't have to be asked. You should say, listen, I'm going to be there tonight. If your heart's right with God, that's what you're going to do. And if it ain't, you're making plans to stay home. You see, that's the difference. Wise men want to worship God. Herod was not so wise, was he? He was, the Bible says, he was troubled. He felt threatened by God. He wanted no part in this man called Jesus or this child called Jesus. Folks, maybe you're here today and that's the way you feel. When I talk about being saved, when I talk about really giving your heart to Jesus Christ, you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't want no part of that. That troubles me. That's threatening. You know? I'm going to have to change my life. And I don't really want to do that right now. You feel threatened. The Bible says that's the way Herod felt. And sadly, so many are in that position right now. You're sitting there and you know that you're not right with God. What if you died this evening? Oh, but preacher, I'm not going to die. You don't know that. You don't know that. We went up hunting a couple of weeks ago. We made plans to go back. The man wanted us to come back, but he died. The week after we left, he fell over dead with a heart attack. We don't know, do we? I've left church before on Sunday morning and get a call. So-and-so died. Well, I just saw them in church. Yeah, but they died. You see, we don't know. And some of you don't want to think about that, but you need to. If you're not right with God, you need to be right with God, for you may die today. And I don't want you to die without Christ or die without being right with God. Some of you are, you're so out of touch with God that you're making excuses to get right. The only way to get right is to get right with God and to get right with others. Laura said that to love God with all your heart and to love one another. And you know what? I can't be right with God if I've got aught against Brother Bill down here. I can't be right with God if I've got aught against a lady over here, or my brothers, or my sister, or Brother Teddy, or, you know, you're not right with God if I can't get along with him. I love you, Teddy. But if I can't get along with him during the week, then I'm not right with God. And if you're sitting there and you and your wife are at odds today, or you and your children are at odds today, you need to get right. Today is the day. You may not have forever. Herod thought, well, this Jesus threatens me. You know what? They mocked Jesus when he was dying and all of that. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world tries to destroy this church. The world outside don't like this church. They don't like what it stands for. They're like Herod. They cannot fight God and win, and they know that. So this church bothers them. You bother them when you're right. But if you're not right with God, then you're no threat. You're no threat. It's not enough to know about Jesus. These guys, they knew about Jesus. They found Jesus. But they also did something else. They bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed before him. They gave out their greatest gift they could give. They treasured Jesus Christ. So they bowed low before him and worshiped him with all their heart. These guys were probably bigwigs where they were. Wise men. Evidently they had some money and stuff. They wouldn't have been traveling like they were. But they gave Jesus Christ gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're going to talk about that later on for Christmas. You see, true worship is giving, isn't it? True worship is giving yourself, giving all you have to Jesus Christ. And then let me go on before we run out of time here. True worship means a determination to obey God. These men were warned by Herod. You know, Herod said, listen, when you find this Jesus, babe, you bring him back news to me because I want to go worship. They were warned in a dream by God, don't go back to Herod. Now, let me tell you something. They were putting their life on the line because they were disobeying Herod, and he could easily have them all killed. But they obeyed God rather than Herod, or rather than man, because that's what true worship means. True worship brings you to an obedience to the Son of God. Now, God's truth always presents us with some choices. And you've got a choice this morning. You've got a choice to sit where you are and do nothing about what you've heard. Go out of here with a bad spirit. Go out of here with a lost heart. Or you can choose to obey the Word of God and come to God and say, listen, I want to serve God. I want to be right with God. Woo! What a great Christmas gift. The greatest gift ever, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He wants you to have Him this morning. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to acknowledge Him as Lord in your life. He is Lord whether you acknowledge Him or not. But make Him Lord of your life. Let Him come in. The only choice that pleases God is to obey His Word. Put God's truth into practice and apply it to your life. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. These wise men, the Bible says, they went home another way. They disobeyed Herod and followed God. If we're going to be right with God, we must do exactly the same today. We must live in the grace and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you a wise man? What is your desire today? Perhaps God is speaking to you right now about a change of attitude. You see, that's what repentance is. Changing your mind about what you believe and changing your mind for Jesus Christ, what He says. Turning your life around to Jesus Christ. Perhaps God's speaking to you. And what you need to do this morning is by faith, take that first step of action. Wouldn't it be nice to get right before Christmas? Wouldn't it be nice to be saved before Christmas? Perhaps God is saying, why don't you do something about the quality of your worship this morning? More Bible study. I don't know how many we've got in here today. We've got a lot more than 240-something. So some of you didn't come to Sunday school this morning. Some of you didn't come to Bible study. Why not? Why not come? We have a ball in our class. That's where we learn the Word of God. You see, I go listen to Brother Perry. He teaches a lesson, and now I come up here and preach it. Why not learn? It's not having to go to Bible study. When you get your heart right with God, you're going to want to. You're going to want to learn about Him. Man, when I was dating my wife, I wanted to learn all about her. I wanted to know her name first thing. I said, man, I got to find out that girl's name. Then I got to find out if she got any money or not. I mean, no. No, you know, you want to know somebody. And, man, you want to know all about Jesus Christ because He's the Savior of the world. And perhaps God's saying, listen, you need to improve your quality of worship. Get into a Bible study. Be regular in your attendance. Pray for your family. Pray for that Bible class. Pray for your devotion type life. And perhaps God is speaking to you right now. The choice you got to make. Are you going to obey Him? Are you just going to keep on going the way you are? You know, it's not enough to hear and understand. The joy comes when you obey what He's told you to do. And let me close with this. If you'll respond this morning by faith, and you'll expect Him to meet you in a very special way, He will, you'll discover and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, because wise men still seek Jesus. And you'll be a wise person. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come. We're here, and Lord, we know to be in the center of Your will, we've got to be right with You. And Lord, there's several hundred here, and I know in a crowd like this, even this preacher, we need to get our lives right so we can have revival. And Lord, what I want more than anything else this Christmas is that joy of just serving You. And Heavenly Father, I pray if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, be obedient. Don't let the devil win. Bind him away from their life that they might move upon what they've heard. and come. We'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.